Mike Jones joins us on Sports Byline, the former linebacker who played for 12 seasons in the NFL after being undrafted coming out of Missouri. And, of course, he probably is best known for his actions during the final play of Super Bowl 34, known as the tackle, when he tackled Titans receiver Kevin Dyson at the one-yard line to preserve a Rams 23-16 victory. You know, I don't think many players have one play that is attached to them like that particular play, Mike. Is it something that has lived with not only you, but people who know you?
Yeah, I mean, it was in the Super Bowl, so, you know, of course, the Super Bowl brings a lot more stuff to you, and then you add to the fact that it was the last play of the game, so a couple people know about what I did.
I talked to Joe Montana once, and when they played Cincinnati the second time around in the Super Bowl, he told me that the pass that he threw in the end zone was not to the receiver who lined up on the right side. I'm going to ask you about that play. Is there something about that play that most people don't know that's kind of different from what people might expect it to be?
Well, the thing is, before the play started, well, when the Titans broke the line, broke the huddle, we were giving our calls, and we weren't lined up right. So when they initially started, we had a guy that was almost uncovered, and then he motioned back to us to actually help us. So we weren't prepared for what they came out in, because we came out of the timeout, they broke the huddle, we were getting the calls, and they were looking around, and when I looked up, I'm like, whoa, we're in trouble because we're short a guy. And then that's when they motioned the guy back. So it was a little bit interesting, that last play.
You know as well as I do, the saying is a game of inches, and it's kind of funny how that worked out to be that way. After the game was over with and you had a chance to reflect on the entire game, but particularly that one play, what is it that meant the most to you about winning that Super Bowl?
Well, you know what? I think if you talk to anyone about even going to the Super Bowl, it's all the things you did during the season to get you there, all the as I said, the journey is almost as good as the actual getting to where you're going. So coming from a team that only won 9 games in 2 years, and then we start off and we're playing well, and you know, and then we hit a little bump in the road. We lost 2 games in a row, and we had to find ourselves, and we won 7 in a row. And then, of course, the last game of the season, you know, we finished up losing in Philadelphia, and then we start the playoffs. And it was so exciting because St. Louis had never had a home playoff game. And then, you know, they never had a home playoff game, and they never had a home NFC championship game. And then not to have a Super Bowl, you know, can't go to the Super Bowl either. We had a bunch of firsts that year. So it was exciting. You know, the city was exciting. You know, just there was so many things that went on that year that just, you know, it was a special moment, special time for us as St. Louis fans.
You know, I've known Dick Vermeil for a very long time. I knew him when he was at UCLA as the head football coach there, and I've talked to him over the years. And I'm just wondering if you can let me know what his fit to that team was. What was it that he did so very well with the Rams?
Well, you know what? Before the season started, we had a wheelbarrow out in the we took the wheelbarrow everywhere we went. And Coach Vermeil told us a story about the wheelbarrow. You know, it was a story about, you know, a guy that was supposed to be a great, you know, tightrope walker, and he said he could walk across, you know, the Grand Canyon on this tightrope with the wheelbarrow. Well, the guy that was doing it had someone that was pretty much, you know, promoting him. Now, this guy's great. He can do this. He can do that. You know, and then the guy that was pushing the wheelbarrow told him, you know what, you think so highly of me, why don't you get in the wheelbarrow and go across with me? He was like, you know, we got a lot of guys that are jumping up and down, and they want to, you know, win and all that, but what are you willing to do for us to win? You know, are you willing to jump in the wheelbarrow with me as I push this wheelbarrow across the Grand Canyon? And it was, you know, it was kind of, if you think about it, you know, a lot of players say they are going to do something, but when you actually ask to do something, do you really do it? And I thought that year, you know, everyone bought into what Coach Mill was telling us, and we did everything he asked them, and because of that, we won a world championship.
Dick was a little bit older than most head coaches. You know, he wasn't a guy that was in his 30s or his 40s at that particular time. How was it a hard thing for him to relate to today's NFL player at that particular time?
You know what? I don't think it was hard for him to relate. I think it was hard for him to relate to the style of practices that players were used to. See, we were coming to an era. I was fortunate because I was going into my seventh year, my eighth year actually, and seventh year. So when I get to the Rams, you know, I had been with a coach that that was pre collective bargaining agreement. So we had a lot. We were a real young team, so a lot of our guys were coming into the 20-hour rule effect from colleges. So a lot of these guys in colleges had never worked more than 20 hours, during a week. And then Coach Mill comes and we're going 2-a-days, in training camp. And all of us look at our schedules. And Coach Mill is a detail-oriented guy, if you know him. So he'll give you a schedule from the first day you turn in training camp and give you a full 365-day calendar to tell you exactly what you're going to do on November the 12th at 3 o'clock. You're going to be doing this. So but when you look at the schedule, he also gives you the practice schedules. And during true days, you're looking. And I thought he had a typo because, in the morning he said we had practice for 2.5 hours. And in the afternoon he had practice for 3 hours. So I'm like, oh, they must have made a typo. It must be an hour and a half. And then he went over the schedule, and we actually were doing that. So, he had to learn how to work. And when he figured out he knew how to work, then he would pull back the reins. But, you had to work, And the only way you got better, as he thought as a coach, for you to become a better player was to be on the football field and putting in the time to become a good football player. So it was hard work the first couple of years, and he weeded out a lot of guys. But once he got the guys he wanted in there, of course, we won a Super Bowl.
I always wondered about motivational speeches. I always think that at the professional level, these guys know what they're doing. They know what the other team is going to do. So I don't know how much good that pregame speech, halftime speech really works. But I know that Dick Vermeil was kind of a rah-rah type of guy. He was what they call a player's coach by label. Was he one of those guys that would give those pregame halftime speeches?
No. I mean, Coach Vermeil he wasn't a rah-rah guy. I thought he was a guy that, you had to work hard. He had great faith in the people that played for him. But he's going to work you hard. And he never gave any, speeches where you got real, I won't say it wasn't motivational, but it was more, guys are rah-rah, getting you jumping up and down. No, he was more an emotional guy. I mean, he brought former players back and, he got emotional about the guys that played for him, about the hard work they put in and what it took for them to turn programs around. And as you've seen more and more of these guys, he kept saying, now, what is it about this guy? Why does everyone that he talks about, he gets emotional about, and the guys that played for him got emotional with him? And as you got to know him, you see why. I mean, he was genuine. Everyone that he played for him, he cared about genuinely. I mean, it wasn't anything where, artificial feelings and, he'd tell you what you want to hear. He told you what you needed to hear, and he meant what he said, and he always tried to do everything he could. He kept a man of his word and all those different things. And a lot of times you don't see that, I won't say a lot of times, but sometimes you get leery of people when it seems like they're, emotional, and, you think they got, they're trying to do that to motivate people. And that wasn't with Coach Ramirez. What you saw is what you got with him. And, he cared about his guys genuinely, and because of that, guys played for him.
Mike Jones is with us. Fine linebacker, played 12 seasons in the NFL, made the game-saving tackle to make it a win for the St. Louis Rams in Super Bowl number 34 against Tennessee. You played for the Raiders, you played for the Rams, and you played for the Steelers. Each of those organizations have a distinct image, a distinct personality. Certainly the Raiders do. Can you talk about those three teams and how they were different or similar?
Well, I tell everyone this. I grew up a Raider. I mean, I was, and a lot of people don't know, I didn't play linebacker in college. I was a running back.
Right.
But when I got to the Raiders, I've been a running back. I was from the University of Missouri. So, we had guys, we had talented guys, but we could never get over the hump. We had a couple games. I mean, I was on the team when we went to the fifth down and lost to Colorado, and it was just always something. We couldn't get over the hump. Well, when you come to the Raiders, I mean, first of all, the Raiders is so different than everyone else. So, you get there, and, I'm there with Howie Long and Marcus Allen and Roger Craig and all these different guys, and it was unbelievable because you see these guys, but all of them were Raiders, and they treated you like whether you was a starter or whether you was a 53rd guy on the roster, you were in the Raider family. And I think that's what a lot of people don't understand. But I mean, I don't know if it's like that now, but when I came into the league in 91, those guys took younger guys under their wing and helped you out and pushed you and made you try to make you a better football player. And they didn't care about where you were from. Once you were, you know, put on that silver and black, you were a Raider. So, you know, I got that from, you know, from everyone that worked with me. So a lot of them guys didn't know I played linebacker. So I made the team, and, you know, I played there, and gradually got better and better and better. But, you know, the organization, I mean, Al Davis, I'll say this, I mean, a lot of people don't really agree with what he did and how he does things, but he always, you know, looked out for me. I mean, he took a chance on a guy that never played linebacker and gave me the opportunity to learn how to play it. And fortunately, I was able to, you know, have some good coaching, and they taught me how to play linebacker, and I played there for 6 years, and then I go to the Rams.
Hold on just a second, and let me take a break. I want to continue this, but Mike Jones has joined us, linebacker who played 12 seasons in the NFL. We've talked about the Raiders. We'll talk about the Rams and the Steelers as we continue across the country and around the world. We've got you on America's Sports Talk Show.